Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to episode 3 of Veteran Trash Talk, Female Warrior Edition. I am so excited to have our guest Dairy on tonight, but first I just want to give a little shout out to our sponsor, Neuroflow. Leaders, make sure you are going to Neuroflow and using that for your team. All right, Dairy, hello, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Liz, I just want to say really quickly, like kind of how we met and before you tell your story, because I think it's really interesting how we can all connect to one another. And our goal really is to be able to, you know, reach as many female warriors as we can to tell their stories as well. But, you know, Dairy and I actually met on TikTok through a mutual friend that I just met through Veteran Trash Talk. So our mutual friend is the Stoned Vet. So make sure you check him out too. He has some great content, also works with Veteran Trash Talk, but he tagged Dairy and I in the same video and then we connected. And I gotta say, like, first off, I was blown away because you have an incredible following there and you really have a lot of influence there. But what sucks is that you haven't really been able to get your story out and tell your story. So thank you so much for coming on here. And I'm just going to let you take it away. I'm going to mute myself in case there's anything crazy in the background and just tell us about you.
Okay. I want to start off with that I got animals. So it's like a zoo. So don't mind me if I'm kind of like squirrel a little bit because I will get sidetracked.
It's real life. It's real life. You just be you.
Basically, I originally started off my TikTok to talk about military sexual trauma because I looked at TikTok more as a blogging thing, especially after the Vanessa Guillen death that happened at Fort Hood, which is where I was also stationed at in 2004 through 2007. It triggered a lot in me. So I figured I would jump on TikTok and use that as a way of getting out to other men and women that it's not something that you need to be ashamed of, that you're not a victim, you're a survivor of it. And it's up to us to take back our bodies and our livelihoods. We can't continue to allow these perpetrators to control our lives. And what made me realize this is my perpetrator came across my FYP.
What?
Wow. Bruh. I say bruh a lot.
Yeah.
What? Whew. When he came across my FYP, mind you, my sexual assault happened in 2006. I've been through two different therapies, cognitive processing therapy, which was more of writing it down, didn't help much. And then regular talk therapy, didn't help much. So I'm scrolling and I see my perpetrator come across on FYP. And I'm like, no, there's no way. And I figured it's because I'm adding a bunch of veterans and a bunch of soldiers. And, you know, I'm talking about Fort Hood. So I figured algorithm, you know, station Fort Hood. He was stationed there. So I was like, I wonder if he's still in the military because I got kicked out. I got kicked out. Mm-hmm. I got kicked the fuck out for reporting it. And I'm sorry, I cussed too. But yeah, so I click on his page and I'm like, oh, he whole happy. He's happy. He's got a family, daughters.
Now, did he have a family when this happens?
I don't think he had kids. I don't know. I didn't know him at that time. I only knew him the time we were in Iraq. Okay. And that's probably about 3 or 4 months before this incident actually happened. So I didn't even know who he was because he wasn't in my unit. And I was like, 13 fucking years. And I've been depressed, can't sleep at night, fearful. And this motherfucker ain't even worried about me. Mm-hmm. He doing his own thing. Doing his own thing. Meanwhile, I let it tear me down so bad that I got addicted to Percocets. It started with Tramadol from the VA, mm-hmm. and then went to Percocets and became an addiction just to get rid of the night terrors and everything I was putting myself through. I was re-victimizing myself. Meanwhile, he's living a happy g-golly life with kids matching onesies and shit. I'm over here with fucking sick zoo animals, no husband, hysterectomy, can't have kids because of endometriosis, depression, anxiety, CPTSD, insomnia. But when I seen that, was the day that I realized I needed help.
Because you saw he was perfectly fine and you've been suffering all this time.
And I was victimizing myself for 13 years. And this was all during the time of the Vanessa Guillen situation. So not only was I triggered, extremely triggered by the Vanessa Guillen situation, but he comes across my FYP.
Right.
So I immediately call my VA doctor and I call my psychiatrist. I was like, you need to get me a psychologist. I don't care where she's from. I'll do it via video chat. I need to do prolonged exposure right now.
Right.
And he was like, why prolonged exposure? I said, you know, I went to social work school. I've studied all the evidence-based therapies. I know what prolonged exposure, you know, is intended for. I've done it before for my brother's murder when I was in the PTSD program in 2019, and it helped out. So why not do it for this? I know it brought forth memories in my brother's murder, so I know it would bring forth the memories that I needed to heal. And it did. I did 15 weeks of it, just finished it in November. I'm still working on the daily and vivos, which are homework assignments. Like one in vivo is taking a shower in my master bedroom. I've owned my house for 6 years and never took a shower in there. Hmm. Just bought a shower head 2 months ago for it.
Why haven't you taken a shower in your master bedroom?
The whole bathroom reminds me of that place where I got raped at. Mm. So I would always use the front bathroom. Oh. And needless to say, the prolonged exposure helped me remember a lot of what I'm about to tell you that I did not know before last year.
Wow.
So
before you tell us what happened, can you explain prolonged exposure for our listeners so that, you know, if that's an avenue that people want to go down, they know to ask for it? Because it sounds like the VA doesn't just
give offer it. Mm-hmm. You literally have to request this because it is so straightforward that you have to mentally be prepared to do this. Okay, I'm going to take cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure and explain both of those. Cognitive processing therapy for MST is writing it down. You're going to work on your stuck points, the points where you blame yourself, stuff like that. It's all written. Prolonged exposure is, we're going to say this is a recorder, it's all recorded. Every session you have is recorded and you are literally talking about the worst part of your trauma. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was when I was laying on the cot and he was penetrating me. That was the worst part for me. So we focused on that, and I had to keep repeating it, listening to it, repeating it, listening to it throughout the week. And for 15 weeks, I did that on top of doing the homework assignments, which are safety behaviors that you break. So for instance, my safety behavior is using that bathroom, not that bathroom. So I had to do step by step to break it. And I still have not showered in there, but I'm using the toilet in there. So that's good, I guess. You know, that's something.
Yeah, right.
My personal hygiene products are in there. I brush my teeth in there now. I do all of that in there, which for 6 years, never did. Never did. So I'm going to say it like this. If you're somebody who does head-on stuff, like if the water's cold, you're not going to tiptoe into it. You want to just dive in and just deal with it right then and there. Mm-hmm. Prolonged exposure is definitely for you. But if you are not a head-on person, a blunt person, somebody that's ready to revisualize those traumas and listen to them every single day, don't do it. Do cognitive processing therapy. Or EMDR, which is eye rapid movement desensitization.
That's good. I've never heard. I mean, so when I went through the VA, they tried to get me to do the cognitive one. Mm-hmm. And I told them to get bent.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. Yeah. But that's good to know the other options too. So I appreciate you taking the time to explain that.
No problem. I just hope that's what I wanted to do with my TikTok, is so that women knew that there is help, but you have to legit ask for these are the specific terms you have to say for these specific therapies, mm-hmm, that you want, or they're just going to throw you in anywhere.
Right.
You know, they don't know, because there's only two in Central Florida, two MST coordinators. So not every VA has one. That's not good.
No, it's not good, especially given the statistics, yep, of all of the rapes that happen. So that's something that we need to figure out how to change.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's got to change. Mm-hmm. There has got to be more help out there for sexual trauma victims, but women, period, in the VA as well, because the military began as a man's world. So they're used to dealing with more men than they are women.
Yeah. But we're highly outnumbered. I don't know what the statistics are, but we're highly, yeah, outnumbered still.
Yeah.
So it still is, even though there are some great men, in the military, it's, yeah, still, there's still a lot of old boys groups. It's still the boys club. I mean, you have to prove yourself every single day as a female. So, you don't even have a uniform properly, you know, like, yeah, 13 years, I never had a pair of gloves that fit my hand that weren't this much big for my hand.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous, right? And yeah. I mean, that's just little stupid stuff.
Yeah. Right?
That's what we're talking about.
Hopefully.
So Barry, tell us your story of what happened.
Okay. I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, from 2004 to 2007. During my time stationed there, I got involved in a gang. We're gonna call it a gang because in the definition, a gang is a group of people who have a specific phrase, a sign, wear the same colors, you know, do a lot of things alike. That's what a gang is. So I got involved in a gang, a male and a female gang. And we had parties. We were out there. We were wild. a lot of us ended up deploying together to Iraq, just in different, at different bases. But majority of us were all at my FOB that I was on.
Where were you? Can you say?
I was at FOB Falcon, 4th ID. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can say my division. I just can't say my unit. But yes, I was 4th Infantry Division and I was at FOB Falcon. God, it was crazy out there. We built a studio, basically, where, you know, you could just go record music, vibe out, hang out, you know, stuff like that. And one night I decided to throw a Father's Day, you know, shenanigan thing for one of our friends, you know, because it was Father's Day. So I brought the alcohol. I brought the Black and Mild, I brought the cake, you know, I initiated the party. Okay. Mm-hmm. The whole group came, everybody that was involved, plus other people that were new to our little clique thingamabobber, that just got introduced into our clique while we were in Iraq. And one of them is the perpetrator. So he's not somebody that I knew before we went to Iraq. I didn't know who he was until we were in Iraq. And he became a part of our clique. And that night we were all drinking. And the first thing that I remember is my boyfriend left. Like, I had a boyfriend in that clique, and he left. I mean, there was another female there and there were other dudes there, but he left and I didn't realize he left. So when I noticed that he left, I actually got up and walked out of the door and hollered for him, like, yo, where are you at? Where are you at, bro? Where are you at?
Yeah.
Couldn't find him. My other friend came and told me, he was like, yo, he already left. He left a couple hours ago. That just tells you how far gone I was before the rape even happened.
Right.
This was 12-ounce can, 90-proof whiskey. Iraqi whiskey. So I did have alcohol poisoning. I was not drugged at all, but I did end up blacking out when I came back in after looking for my boyfriend. I hit a table and I scratched the side of my face. And I remember my homeboy picking me up and putting me on a cot. You know, for those who don't know what a cot is, it's a little metal bed with a piece of cloth. That's the only way I can explain it. And he put a meat blanket under my head so I had something to lay my head on. Mm-hmm. And I immediately just threw up everywhere just from the movement. And I ended up laying my head and throw up. The next time I woke up is when I felt this sergeant penetrating me. I was laying on my stomach. My pants were almost knee down. And the only reason that I knew something was going on is because I had 3 surgeries prior to that deployment because of the endometriosis. And scar tissue. And that immediately woke me up from the blackout enough for me to look over my shoulder to see what was going on. And he looked me dead in my eyes like a deer in headlights. Stop. That was it. I didn't feel no more movement. I threw up, blacked back out. When I woke up, no one was there except for the girl sleeping. She was knocked out. That's it. And I remember somebody on the computer doing something on the computer. Nobody else was there though. So I walked out. I was able to get up and walk out, and my pants, I had to button them, and the porta potty was literally right outside that door, pretty much, like a couple steps outside that door. I walk out to the porta potty and I immediately put my hands down there and I could feel the swelling. That's when I knew that I had been raped. That's when I knew I was sexually assaulted, that when I blacked out and I came to for those couple of seconds, it was not a dream. It was real life.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, I needed to figure out what's the safest way to do this. Being completely intoxicated, barely able to move. Only thing I could do was lay back down on the cot. I left the bathroom, walked back in there, and laid back down on the cot and cried, hoping somebody would hear me. Somebody did. My homeboy came in and said, "What's wrong with her?" I ain't gonna say my name, but "What's wrong with her? Why is she crying?" He comes in, the perpetrator sits on my cot, literally on my cot, on the edge of it, and is rubbing my back.
What?
Saying, "I don't know what's wrong with her. I just heard her crying." My homeboy said, "This isn't like her. She doesn't, she's not one to just cry just for no reason. Something happened. Help her get back to her room. Take her stuff and help her get back to her room." I couldn't
say that's the perpetrator to help you. Because he didn't know.
No, he didn't know. From my knowledge, he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
So the perpetrator walks me back to my room. Okay. Supposedly between the time of us walking to my room, I stopped and talked to my roommate who was at work at the time. And I vaguely remember him grabbing me saying, "Don't say what happened because you're going to get us all in trouble and you're going to get the studio shut down."
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I vaguely remember talking to her is because my roommate tells me how much she was traumatized by the situation. And she was not even there.
What?
She said when she seen me, my face was completely pale and I had bruises all over me, chunks of throw up in my hair. Same with my battle buddy that was across the hall, which is where I'm about to get to now.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole walk, I don't remember nothing. All I remember even still is him grabbing me saying, "Watch what you say because you're going to get us all in trouble and the studio is going to get shut down." We get to the barracks, or, you know, our building. He throws my stuff in the room. I wait for him. I'm watching him through the window of my room come down the barrack stairs. As soon as I see him come down those barrack stairs, I immediately walk back out my room and I knock on, I almost said her name, knock on my battle buddy's door. And she opens it, and I don't remember this. I'm going to tell you what she tells me. I look like a ghost. She said she's never seen me like that because I'm normally a happy, bubbly type of person, or either I'm angry, mad. She mm-hmm. said the way that she saw me was like my soul left my body.
Oh.
She supposedly went and told another NCO, I don't remember this either, what would happen if one of our battle buddies came to us and told us they were raped? And that NCO told her, "Well, you need to tell us what's going on," mm-hmm. pretty much. So my battle buddy didn't budge. She didn't say shit, you know, which is good. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, that gave me time to go take a shower and try to recuperate. I called my boyfriend. He came right over to my room and was like, "What the hell happened?" And I told him exactly what happened. And he goes to walk me to work, where I'm supposed to be working at, on the FOB. And we see my NCO. And at that time, I have a little bit of foam coming out my mouth. I'm dehydrated really bad. So he's like, "What's up? Come into the office and talk." And I told him everything that happened. My boyfriend went to his job like he was supposed to. My NCO took me to my head NCO in her room. We told her they did everything they could do to protect me. They got me sent out to the hospital. I don't remember what hospital it was, but they did a rape kit test on me, which all of that came back positive. I came back to the FOB after that. I think I was gone like 72 hours, something like that, maybe 72 hours. Mm-hmm. I came back to the FOB and everybody fucking knew. Everybody knew. It went from my lieutenant victim advocate telling me, female, that no, it's restricted if you report it. Mm-hmm. You can have it restricted. Okay, I want it restricted and I want to report it. Hell yeah, I'm fucking reporting it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. Why would you not report that shit? So I reported it thinking I'm gonna be good. You know, I done told them, I did my part. Guess what I got introduced with when I came back to the FOB, got off the fucking helicopter and didn't see my commander?
What?
A field grade Article 15 for breaking general order number one. No drinking in the field.
Because that's what's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I signed it. You know why? Because I did break that motherfucking order. I broke it. So I signed it. Only one other person admitted to breaking their order too. Guess who that was?
Who's that?
My boyfriend. He got his rank reduced as well. He did 45 days extra duty with me to make sure that I was safe. He was the only one out of that whole entire group that believed me. Out of 20 something people.
That believed you?
He was the only one. Other than my squad.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about that gang.
Yeah.
He was the only one.
Do you think there were other people in the room when this happened?
Yeah. Because my night terrors envisioned two people standing at the door every time. And these two people is the same homeboy that said, I've never seen her cry like that before. And the reason I'm looking in the camera like this is because if this does get out, I want to make sure that they see that I know.
Yeah.
They